Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
The Killer Bees!
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham, it's Brian behind the glass. It's a Wednesday edition of The Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Kind of forgot what the studio felt like.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Thank you guys for holding down the fort. Mm-hmm. Brian, I love you like a brother. That is an obnoxious hat.
I was just going to say, he's right. Leading that in. That is, he's going to hit you on the backside after that.
That might be the ugliest hat I've ever seen.
It's opinion. Yeah, I obviously don't mind it. I bought it, but
you paid for it?
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, I don't wear it very often. I usually have like 2 go-to hats, and I couldn't find them, so I was like, I'll grab my Triple G hat and I put it on.
Yeah, if you don't, I mean, obviously, this is the radio medium. So let me describe the hat a little bit. It's black. It's silver with the lettering. Kind of looks like a Raiders hat
Say Raiders.
Yeah,
hat,
yeah.
And then
in
over
style,
the
a little bit. Yeah,
right down the, what would you call that? That's not the bill. That's the, what's that part of the hat?
The facing.
Is it facing? Yeah. There's a word for it, I think. But the facing of the hat has 3 giant G's right in succession. It is
not Gallant George.
I was going to say Gallant George and
that is a disaster.
Gennady Golovkin.
I could see like AJ probably having the swag to pull that off. Maybe somebody under the age of 30 could have the swag to pull that off. But that is one despicable looking hat.
When is the last time you thought you think I thought about having the swag to pull off a piece
you
of clothing?
You only have 2 other
not
hats.
Not in a while.
Yeah, I haven't. That hasn't been a part of my thought process in quite a while.
That is, we're going to have to post that hat and get people's thoughts on that hat. Because that is a...
I mean, it's on YouTube right now.
That is one ugly hat. Yeah, good point. ESPN Houston to check out Brian's ugly hat. ESPN Houston.
Appointment viewing.
That is something. That hat is something. Congratulations, Texas A&M.
Yeah,
big time win in College Station. A foundation built on love. I listened to the last few minutes of that game. Andrew Monaco does a great job. That's the first time A&M has beaten the number one team in the country. So they gigged them. Congratulations to the big time.
They never trailed.
Big time. They never trailed. In that
never
game?
Trailed. In the
See,
entire
I, didn't,
game.
I didn't get it until the final few minutes. I was calling some Cougar baseball, but big time win for them.
No doubt.
Did I see it right that they retired Wade Taylor's jersey?
They did.
Huh. That surprised me.
Before his career's over?
But I would
I'm not a big fan of that.
I'm not either.
That he's played because of COVID and everything else. He's been there so long that he probably holds a lot of records.
Probably
sure,
does.
But before his career's even over?
Yeah,
you do it next year?
How do you feel about that, where you're retiring a jersey while he's still an active member of your roster?
Yeah, that is weird, right?
He's only been there 4 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought he was there longer than that.
Oh, I just pulled it up.
The kid from Illinois, too. I still feel weird about the fact that he didn't play 4 years at Illinois.
But he's not an active player, though.
No, but he's in the NBA now. But, I mean, less than, 6 months removed from his career being over at Illinois, they retired his number. And at that point, I was like, it's a little soon.
Yeah, I thought that was a weird one, too. But maybe they have, was he an All-American? No, he wasn't an All-American. Yeah, that was a weird one for me. He played 3 years at Tech, Terrence Shannon did, before moving over to Illinois.
Yeah, that makes it even weirder.
Got into some trouble there, too. Yeah, but congratulations to the Aggies. That was big time. Congratulations to Bel-Air. Bel-Air winning a big game yesterday, too. I wish them success as they head to state. So that's cool to see. That was the good basketball played in this state. A&M and Bel-Air, the bad basketball from a team in this state. Mm. What is going on with the Houston Rockets? Look, they were underdogs in yesterday's game. They were 3.5-point dogs. I think it's fair to think that, hey, you know, that wasn't a layup. That wasn't an easy win. This team is reeling a little bit, Blankers. They're reeling.
Yeah, it is. And it's at the exact wrong time because you got teams like Golden State playing well. You got the Lakers playing well, where a week or so ago you were going to be the 4 seed hosting the Lakers in the first round of the playoffs. Now you've slid to 5. And in two nights, Golden State sliced two games off of the deficit to try and catch you and move all the way up into the five seed. So you got to kind of thank goodness you're playing the Pelicans the next two nights, the next two games. But at the same time, you better be on your best game because of the fact that you can't slip up anymore because every game matters down the stretch, and it's costing you right now.
I'm going to run this this comp by you. How I feel this Rockets season is going right now, 37-25. You brought up the standings. They're currently fifth. They're still, I mean, is 3.5 game lead comfortable?
It should still be.
3.5 ahead of Minnesota for the seventh spot. So they're still 3.5 games into the real playoffs. They're also 3.5 games back from the Lakers at number two. So, like, you're smack dab in the middle of second and seventh in the Western Conference. Mm-hmm. So it can kind of go one of either way. And the more likely scenario is they kind of stay right here in the middle. They're a five seed. They're a six seed. So hopefully they don't slide out of the playoffs, though. That would be disastrous. I really want this young team to get a seven-game playoff series. Even if they don't win, I'm okay with that. Now they get swept, probably a different story whenever we're real-time in the moment. But I want them to get the taste of a seven-game playoff series. I think it'll be critical for the development of this young team. But how it feels like to me right now with how the Rockets season is going as of late, this feels like a game. Whenever you're playing a team that's probably better than you, like maybe a 5-point, 7-point favorite, and you get out to a huge lead. You're up like 20 at the half or something like that. And then the other team that you know is better than you and everybody knows is better than you starts to chip away at that lead, where a 20-point lead all of a sudden becomes a 15-point lead halfway through the third quarter. It ends with a 9-point lead after three. Uh-oh, it's a 5-point game with 5 minutes left to play. And then in the final minute, that team eventually takes the lead over you. That, to me, is how this season feels for the Rockets right now. Most of the year, they were right there at the top of the Western Conference. We knew that they're not the second-best team in the West, but okay, they're playing to this high standard, playoffs, yes, and they are just grasping and clinging on, trying to stay in the playoffs.
It's not bad. I mean, it is. It's one of those scenarios, and I always go back to that Seattle team years ago where Ray Allen, Brent Berry, and a bunch of guys that were decent NBA players got off to such a hot start that they were able to kind of, that they were trying to secure a four seed. And then they just kept sliding and sliding and sliding. And you're like, okay, we know who they really are. Now, can they at least kind of capitalize on the fast start, the hot start and all the wins that they got to solidify at least being in the playoffs in this case, or in the case of Seattle, trying to hang on to a home court when they did it? It is similar. And the fact is that you don't want all the goodwill to go to waste. You don't want all that effort at the end of the year to be for naught because you slid out of the top six. Because we know we made our predictions at the start of the year. I thought this was a play-in team. If this team could somehow solidify one of the top six seeds in the West, that's a win. No matter what happens the rest of the way, that's more advancement. The first year it was 22 games better in the win column. You know, second year we're trying to at least make the playoffs. Now, if you're a top six seed, you're advancing. You're doing things that you can actually tangibly say we're improving. But it would suck if after all this hard work and all those good wins early in the season that they would fall out of the top six between now and the end of the regular season.
I think it's in play they missed the playoffs. Like, I do think it's in play that they missed the playoffs. Like, play in, like, not, right. not they're going to finish within the top 10, but I could see them falling to number 7 and then all of a sudden being in this play in where they, you know, they have to earn their way into the real postseason. I think that would be a failure. Now, if you go to the play-in and then you earn your way in, that's not a failure. Like, hey, you had some games with high stakes and you needed to earn your way to be there. And if they do that, then cool, more power to them. But if they get into the play-in and they miss the real playoffs altogether, I do think it is a failure of a season for Houston.
Yeah, I think it just shows you how much more growth that this team has to try and find a way to get to, you know, to get to the level. Because When you're the two seed, like you said, for the majority of the first half of the season, you should be a playoff team, regardless of if you slip. But if you slip all the way out, it would be a gross disappointment because of where you were and because of the fact that you had such a good lead. I think one of the blessings for them is Kyrie Irving's injury for Dallas, because now Dallas, a team kind of right there teetering on a playoff team, that when you figured if they got Anthony Davis back and they had Kyrie and they still have Klay and some other, and they get Lively back, that they could actually climb. But now it looks like they're going to shut down AD. Kyrie's out for the year, and maybe they're just going to tank. So that allows you a little wiggle room to say, okay, I'm going to get into at least the play-in, right? But Minnesota's right there. Minnesota's a far better team than what their record has been indicates right now. And like I said, in Golden State, it's getting hot. So you're right. It's in play that they could actually fall out of the top six, and I think that in itself would be disappointing. But if they were able to solidify a playoff spot by the play-in, they could salvage it. But if you miss the top six and then don't even qualify for a playoff series, that would be a disappointment.
I don't even need them to, like, win a playoff series. I if they're eliminated in the first round and they lose a five-game, like, if they lose a seven-game series in five, okay, I think it's valuable experience. But if you miss the real playoffs altogether, this season, which seemed like a great stepping stone to the growth of this very young team, I do think would be pretty catastrophic for the Rockets. What stood out to you specifically in the game yesterday? Kind of a small, you know, looking at it more of the tree, not the forest.
I mean, you out-rebound a team by like 20 rebounds. You basically, you didn't shoot the ball well at all. But the combination of 13 missed free throws and another game where it just seems like there's not a whole lot of extra effort on this team. Like, the execution in the fourth quarter was not good again. What there was, Jalen had an off night, but you got to be able to recover from that. And I thought that it was a lot of the same stuff that we've been talking about in terms of not a very high energy, high effort from the team, especially when they needed it in the fourth quarter. Because in the fourth quarter, they had once again gone on a run. They scored 6 points in the final, like, 7 minutes. Like, you work your tail off on a 23-5 run, I think it was, at the end of the third, into the fourth, to get right back in it and take a one-point lead, and then you proceed to score 6 points the rest of the way. You can't do that. And this is what we've seen from this team in the fourth quarter in terms of falling short and falling apart when you need to play your best basketball.
Yeah. Man, it was that. I mean, I hated the spot that they were in, needing that comeback to take the lead in the fourth quarter.
Because of the energy they burnt?
I mean, all of, yeah. I mean, I do believe in that.
Yeah.
I do believe
there is
something to it. If you're working uphill the entire game, I think a lot of times you do, you know, that tank gets empty for the final, you know, few minutes. But I thought that they just played poorly in the first three quarters. Like, I was more disappointed with them playing poorly in the first three quarters than climbing the mountain and then falling short, because that happens a lot. It's more, hey, everybody was using a rest day for the most part. Jalen Green played, but I mean, even his minutes were shortened because that game got out of hand a little bit in the fourth quarter. It was a rest day, and then you still play that way. It doesn't make a lot of sense for a young team that's chasing a playoff spot without very many games to go. Like, this is the stretch drive. Like, why do they need to be inspired? We'll get Ime's thoughts on this, because what Ime said after the game I thought was interesting on a couple of fronts. People have their thoughts on this too. Plus, I've been called a racist already in the show, which is, you don't make it until you've been called a racist in this city, especially the melting pot that is Houston. It is a very busy show. 713-780-ESPN. We're on the YouTube at ESPN Houston. We're on Twitter at ESPN975. Blankers at Pac-Man Joel. I'm at Jeremy Branham. Lots to get to. USS Cam Smith. We don't think he's making the big league team out of camp, but what if he does? We'll entertain it. Lance McCullers, are you falling back in love with Lance McCullers? Also, the Texans have a new president. He's got a creepy laugh. We'll play that for you. And our address to the Houston sports fan, which is timely, I think. All right, 713-780-3776. It is the Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Brandon
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You know, they thought I was racist already. They're going to think I'm more racist after this song.
Why does the song make you racist?
I think there's a certain demographic that listens to this song that other demographics do not.
Are you saying in general for like 90s pop punk or specifically The Offspring?
90s punk rock.
Okay. I mean, I would disagree at least with the people I know, but I mean, maybe there's some truth to that. I'm not sure.
We got you. Texter says ESPN corporate needs to monitor y'all because y'all think y'all can say anything. Adderall user. There's only once.
What did we say?
racist, I guess.
Was there an example given as to what made you that way?
Yeah, I got called a racist. I'll read you the twext here. The twext.
The twext. Sounds like a candy bar.
Or Elmer Fudd.
I'll read you the text. For your information, black people listen to your show also. Houston Wheatley and Houston Booker T going to state also. Those are black schools that made it to state. Also, you just said Bel Air, the white area school. I would like to apologize for not recognizing Houston Wheatley and Houston Booker T. Congratulations to all of Houston ISD that made the state championship. That's a failure on my part. I messed up and I apologize. The only reason that I knew Bel Air made it is because they beat Kingston Flemings, who's a Houston commit. That's the only reason I know what's going on with Houston basketball.
That's going to U of H was in that game against a kid from Duke.
If Bel Air beat a team that did not have a Houston commit, I promise you I would not have known Bel Air made it to the state finals. The only reason I knew Bel Air made it to the state finals is not because they're a white school that made it, although their best player is Shelton Henderson, who's off to Duke. Mm-hmm. It's because they defeated a Houston Cougar commit. Only reason that that game was on my radar at all. But I apologize for everybody that I offended. I do apologize.
Sounds like excuses from a racist.
I mean that sincerely. I apologize. I'm the only minority on this show.
And I'm Mexican.
Half of me is a minority.
Did Kelvin recruit Henderson?
I am not privy to those conversations.
I just, because I remember even before Kelvin took the job and Mikhail and I were talking about it, saying if you could just get the top talent in Houston or some of the top talent in Houston every year, you could have a tournament team every year. But boy, they got some talent coming out of Houston in the area this year.
I trust Kelvin Sampson recruiting.
Oh, I don't. I'm not saying that.
I'm not privy to any of that. But Sheldon Henderson, good player. Had a big game. It's like 24-20
Yeah, something like 24-20 20-20 something.
I'm curious to see how his game translates to the college game because he's. I mean, he's like a big wing who kind of like powers his way through high schoolers. Like, I wonder what that looks like. But Duke ain't recruiting. You know, terrible.
Basketball seems like he can handle the ball a little bit.
Yeah, I've never seen him play, I'll be honest. Texter, I hope you are racist. This would make this show crazy fun. Just kidding, kinda. There's no racist on this show. And it certainly wouldn't be me. I have the most street cred of anybody on this show because I'm half minority.
I married into it.
You're right. You married into it. You got there as quick as you could.
That's right.
Like they say about Texans.
Wasn't
born there,
cred.
But I got there as quick as I could. Brian thought he had street cred putting on that hat today.
But you never know. I mean, if it's just a quick look, he might.
I don't think any of us have street cred is the answer.
That's probably true.
Brian looks like a roadie for P.E.
King of Twitch, I'm a half a second. Half
for
a
P.E.?
Second.
Public Enemy.
I like to say Texican. That's what I go with. He does look like Public Enemy a little bit.
Yeah.
There was a tweet I was – somebody on the Twitch I was going to read. Oh, yeah. It was from our guy XX Ron. He said that if the Rockets do miss it, it'll be a failure. And it would be a failure if they miss out on the playoffs. I agree they don't need to win a series, but they got to make it to the dance. XX Ron was on the Rockets are contenders.
Oh, yes, he was. Heavy on that one.
I wonder if those that, and maybe this is a question here, 713-780-3776. For those of you that thought the Rockets were contenders a month ago, do you still feel that way? Talking to you, XX Ron, and all of you, 713-780-3776. SU on the YouTube, yeah, you definitely don't want to slip out of the playoffs. Here was Ime Udoka about yesterday's game.
The opposite of what we talked about, what we would hope to have with some guys not playing last night. And so it's hard to win when you give up 67 in the first half and play uninspired and, lack physicality and throwing the ball all over the gym and don't look like we care at times. And so, that one hurts because you do all that work to get back into it and go 13 for 26 from the free throw line, miss about 5 point blank layups, then you can extend the lead when you're up one and do all that work and then give it back. But more than that, to your point, I care about the fight and effort and competitiveness from the start to avoid getting into that hole.
I agree with everything he said. But at what point does that fall on him?
Oh, at some point it has to, right? Because this is the repetitive speech we keep hearing from him in postgames. We keep hearing him, credit to him for not being afraid to call out his players. You hope that that's not the only place he's doing it, and you would assume that he's also doing it in practices and meetings and film sessions. But at a certain point when it's repetitive and it's a broken record and it keeps happening, like, what are you doing to fix it? Yeah, I understand each individual has their own responsibilities, But if it seems to be more of a pattern across the entire team, the coaching staff has to play a part in that at some point, too.
Yeah. And Todd, the show, saying uninspired, lack of physicality, blah, blah, blah. Dude says the exact same thing every postgame, every postgame loss. Alex saying an Ime I trust. And look, I still think Ime, I mean, I think he's a great coach. I don't think because they lost a couple of games and they're, you know, a young team that might have been playing over their heads in the first half of the year, maybe coming back down to reality this year. I don't think it changes who Ime is as a coach. But that message that he sends after every loss, that has to get old for the players.
Oh, yeah.
That has to be something where they're like, okay, like, we didn't play well, yes. We didn't make our shots, yes. But talking about how, I mean, basically, I mean, he calls them soft all the time.
He does.
And, like, at what point is that the head coach demanding his players live up to his standard, right? And I get that that's sometimes difficult to do in the pros, but maybe just keep subbing guys in that are willing to do that. So, like, if you're saying the same thing over and over, and you're not really changing what you're doing, isn't that the definition of insanity?
Yeah, to a certain extent, because when you think about it, and you watched a majority of that run where they got back into the game going into the fourth quarter, he wasn't afraid to ride some of the hot hands as opposed to all of his starters. But at a certain point, too, explain to me why, if you're lacking energy and Cam Whitmore the night before goes off and does all the things positively that he did, that Cam Whitmore struggles to get on the floor and get 7 minutes overall. Like, you have to look yourself in the mirror and go, well, if we need energy, but I got these young guys sitting on my bench that, yeah, they might make a few mistakes, but at the same time, what they showed me last night was, not last night being Indiana, the night before when they were playing hard at OKC, hey, they got a lot of fight in them, and they've got a lot of hustle and a lot of ability to kind of maybe bridge those gaps when the veterans are kind of slowing down. He doesn't do that. And so I would think at a certain point the team will get tired of it, and I also think that if he's not afraid when a guy doesn't play defense of sitting a guy down,
yeah,
it shouldn't be any different that if a guy's not showing you a whole lot of energy in a game that's very tight, put, you know, try something else.
Texter, he's telling the truth, Softy. I agree that he's telling the truth, but at some point, that falls on the head coach to change what he does not like on the team. Mm-hmm. Like, that ultimately falls down to the head coach. That's why head coaches get fired. Like, head coaches get fired because the performance on the floor isn't living up to, like, either the standard that is set by owner, general manager. Sometimes it's even the head coach. You know, the head coach wants a certain standard. It's not being lived up to. They can't right the ship. And then all of a sudden, they're looking for a job. So I agree that he is telling the truth. But why hasn't it changed? If this is a message that's been going on for 3 weeks, what's the issue here? What's the underlying issue? I agree with what Ime Udoka is saying, but I always like to look as to the reason of why. Why is this happening? Why is this team soft? Why is this team lacking physicality? Why are they lacking energy? What is the root of the issue here? I don't know if anybody has that answer. Like, it's because the players don't want to play hard? Like, that's what we're talking about here? Which I understand happens in professional sports in the NBA, but it should absolutely not happen to a young Rocket team that hasn't made the playoffs since James Harden.
That's the thing. Like, you have the ability, if you want to say it's veterans, like every night maybe, and we know Fred's hurt again. But if you're saying between Fred and Brooks and Green and Steve Adams and the veterans, if you want to say that, hey, with the grind that they've been on through their career, there's going to be times they don't have it. You have so many young players, and we just got done talking about in the Oklahoma City game. Look, all these guys that stepped up, that just wanted, they were hungry for the opportunity. When they got it, they took advantage of it. They looked pretty good doing it. Now you're asking them in a smaller sample size where they could actually maybe drain the tank even more. Go out and tell Dante, go in there and just play aggressive defense, get a few fouls, spell my bigs, give me some effort. Shepard, Whitmore, guys like that. Williams, maybe, maybe not. But you have guys that you look like you can trust in short spurts, but you're not doing it. If you're going to bench Alpi and Jalen for not playing defense, if you see guys that aren't going after 50-50 balls and giving you full effort for a five, even if it's just for a couple minutes, sit their ass down, put someone in the game, send a message.
Yeah, it's interesting. He's hearing the same thing every Every loss.
Let me ask you a question that Paul brought up that I don't think I would ever have thought of, and I don't think it's true, but I'm curious your thoughts. He said at a certain point, do you think Udoka keeps saying this because he's tired of it and that he's getting disgruntled with this young team?
Let's hit it on the other side. 713-780-ESPN. Is he getting disgruntled? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Something you're never going to get disgruntled over is getting a new vehicle at Monument Chevrolet. You're going to want to buy your car there. There's no doubt about that. It's March, too, by the way. Spring is on the way. And that means it's time for spring savings at Monument Chevrolet. Monument Chevrolet is the dealer that you can trust. They're transparent from the moment you step foot on their massive grounds, and there's no hassle pricing. Get your car shopping done fast. Employee pricing right now going on as well for the Silverado 1500. That's right. You can get your new Silverado 1500 with the prices the employees pay. You can't beat that. Get over to the dealership, 225 Beltway 8. Check out their massive inventory. Tons of perks at Monument Chevrolet, but the chief among them, the ownership there is fantastic. Why? Because it's family-owned. Family feel at Monument Chevrolet. Friendly atmosphere. We mentioned from the moment you step ground to the moment you buy your vehicle, you're going to feel like you're in great hands. They hire good people. Their culture is fantastic. They don't hide charges that they're going to get you on the back end. You're going to love buying a vehicle at Monument Chevrolet. Get a fair deal. Fast, easy transaction without wasting your time in these aggravating, stressful negotiations. They're not going to backdoor you with these hidden charges. No tricks, no time wasting. If you've been waiting to upgrade your ride, now is the time to do it. You can visit them online, monumentchevrolet.com. That's monumentchevrolet.com. Or better yet, visit them in person, 225 and Beltway 8. You can't miss them. That's Monument Chevrolet.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? No? Then download it now in your app store. You found the Killer Bees live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Did you get your free burger today? Whataburger giving away free cheeseburgers today. Well, free burgers. You have to add the cheese. You have to buy fries.
You have to buy fries and drink, yeah.
It's like $6.50.
Yeah, no, I think it runs through Friday, so I plan to do it tomorrow, yeah. I didn't see it until after I'd already eaten lunch.
Why does it feel like their drink lids never fit right?
They always pop off. I have that same problem. It is a hazard trying to drive with the Whataburger cup. Yeah.
I'm going to spill this all in my lap. I don't understand. Why don't they have lids that fit?
I didn't notice that, but I'll pay closer attention to it.
You should. Otherwise, you're going to have a bunch of Coke Zero in your lap.
It's true. It's very true.
What'd the Starbucks barista write on your cup today?
Have a great day, Joel.
That's kind of lame.
I don't mind it.
Not very imaginative.
Yeah, it's not very like, hey, we're going to be creative with the person that we see.
Kind of mailed it in.
I thought they were supposed to be giving you like compliments on like appearance and stuff.
I mean, it's better than
on appearance?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, what about Brian with his hat if he pulled up to Starbucks?
Like, have a great
day.
Hey,
nice beard. Nice beard, sir.
Nice drip.
Drip.
Brian?
People often said I have drip. Yeah, it happens all the time.
Mm-hmm. Had fun at the occasional invitational yesterday. Said a texture, but that wind was insane. Never played golf in wind like that. Yeah, it's a tough one. That's tough.
Especially on that
golf
course.
Wind. I know.
Because it's kind of just right there in the middle of nowhere.
And it's elevated.
And it's linksy, yes. Right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, you kind of got a little open championship feel yesterday.
Yeah, it was flying around.
It's windy today. Yeah. Like, it's crazy how much wind there has been. 713-780-ESPN. So, Paul brought up the question, is Ime getting frustrated with his players being soft, basically? Kind of paraphrasing it?
Yeah, kind of the fact that, you know, he doesn't have the kind of go-to guy. He wants go-to guys. He wants a chance to compete for a championship.
That's not soft, though.
Yeah, I'm not saying – I don't think Paul said he was soft.
Just getting frustrated with, like,
just getting frustrated with the situation, with the talent and everything. I mean, because if you're me looking at it from my perspective, you got the world by the grapes. I mean, you're the man in charge for the most part. They gave you a hell of a contract, and you're the loudest voice in the room, and you've got all the resources, including a new practice facility and everything that a lot of coaches want, and they're letting him call shots on everything from, like, the chef to you know, all the little details. He's got everything. It's just maybe more so than that. Maybe this is he's going to be the driving force behind if they do the things that we were warning people could happen and it all falls out, the bottom falls out of it. Maybe this is the driving force behind making a trade this offseason.
How do you feel about that? What do? You think he falls onto something?
I've had questions on both Şengün, but mostly Jalen Green, in terms of their ability to kind of get to the level that some people thought that they were destined to achieve and be a superstar. So I've had questions there, but I also don't want them to get an aging superstar and give up a lot of their young talent. I think that they have a ton of young talent, and all of them are at different stages to where no one's really kind of on the high end kind of separated themselves from the pack and said, I'm going to be the go-to guy. But at the same time, you see all these guys that have varying levels of high-level skill that you think make up a really good roster. So I would be weighing the options. But you know me, I need someone that from an age perspective blends with this group, not the OG that comes in like Kevin Durant for 2 years and you give up three of your prospects and you give Phoenix their pick back. I don't want that.
See, whenever he says I'm not buying what Paul is selling with the question here, at least not from that quote. Like, maybe that is a feeling that he has, like, hey, I don't love this roster, we could use help here, we could use help there. But whenever he talks about this quote specifically, it's hard to win when you give up 67 points in the first half. Like, that's team. Like, that's effort. That's not one specific player. Like, he's chastising his first half defense. I don't think that's individual. I don't think that's about one specific player or lack of one specific player or caliber of player.
I think Paul was more kind of on this. We keep hearing the same message from him. And if that is that indeed frustration that turns into him questioning, is he ever going to get it from this roster and these young guys and this team and the makeup of some of these players to where it isn't what he had in Boston? Well, he walked into the ultimate situation for him when you walk into Tatum and Brown and some of the guys they already had on the roster that turned it into, I've got a chance to take this team to the finals in short order. You knew what you were signing up for with this Houston Rockets team. You knew that you were going to have picks, you were going to have a young roster, and because you were going to have cap money coming up, the ability to kind of improve through free agency. But in no way, shape, or form should that have said that, hey, the blueprint is here for you to do what you did with the Celtics in short order and get a team to the finals.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard whenever you have a team give up 67 points in the first to blame one individual player.
But that also goes to what you were saying earlier, though, Jeremy. At a certain point, that's coaching.
Yeah.
Like, okay, maybe we know that there's shortcomings on some of these guys' abilities defensively. But as a team, when you play team defense, you help, you rotate, you switch, you shut down the lane, and then you flash out on shooters. And if you just know the concepts and the coaches are giving you the right instruction and teaching you at practice, you can still be a serviceable defender even if your skill set says you ain't great.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, this is a team. Like, that's why I feel like the message is kind of being lost. Like, he's having a tough time currently getting through. And is it because the Fred VanVleet has been out and he's kind of like the bridge from coaching staff to player? That's kind of scary if that's what you need. So but I'm just wondering.
Well, but here's the other wonder. Like, Van Gundy was the king of this. Van Gundy utilized the media as a pawn to try and deliver messages to his players. But he didn't like the one-on-one confrontations. And he didn't like behind the scenes backing that up and pounding it home by telling guys to their face, you're not doing this and you got to do this better. So he's utilizing the media to send the message that the effort's got to be better, the defense has got to be better, the veterans have to be better.
I disagree with that. I don't think that he's using the media to convey that message. I think he has no problem conveying that message himself to the team.
No, what I'm saying is I only know what I know, that he's continuing to do it in a press conference.
Sure, but I don't think he's doing it only in the press conference. I don't think he's afraid of confrontation with player.
But we don't know.
I feel pretty confident.
Okay.
Doka talks about how he communicates to the players. I mean, I haven't literally been in the room, but I'm taking Ime Udoka for his word, and then the players, too, say that Ime Udoka's that way as well. So I'm taking the players for their word, too.
But it goes to what I was saying, too. Then at a certain point, if the words aren't getting through, then the actions have to, which means I'm going to start sitting guys down.
Yeah.
If you start making these mistakes, and especially if we've talked about it, then if you do it again, and especially if you do it repeatedly after we've talked about it, then you're not going to be on the floor. And maybe that's the way that you learn the lesson to play the way I expect you to play if you're playing for my team.
It just feels like the message isn't getting through. How is this team giving up 67 points in the first half?
They've already kind of done this. So there was a game before the All-Star break about a month ago. I forget the opponent specifically, where he sat down the entire starters and kept the bench squad in through the rest
Craig
of the game.
Craig called it a line change, yep.
Yeah, basically a line change. And I remember we had a conversation after the game. It's like, okay, if this doesn't work, what's the next step? And we're still having these moments where in press conferences he's saying the same thing over and over again. So either A, he doesn't know how to convey the message, or B, he's got to consider replacing the players. Because, I mean, one of the things, I mean, you have to do one of the things at some point if they're not listening.
And I'd be fine if this is a one-off. Like, hey, I get it. Like, it's the NBA. Like, there's a lot to do in Indianapolis. You can go to the St. Elmo. You can have a little shrimp cocktail.
Yeah.
You can go to the Outback right down the street there. There's tons to do in Indy. I can understand the players being distracted in the great Midwest city of Indiana. I totally get it. Indianapolis, Indiana. Totally get it. So I understand that a one-off is going to happen. I totally get it. But when it's happening routinely after it was not happening routinely in the first half, something has changed. Something is different. If it's Fred VanVleet, then the dude should win the MVP is how big of a difference it is. Well, it's Fred VanVleet. He's the reason that they went from being one of the best defenses in the NBA to a team giving up 67 points to the Pacers. If Fred VanVleet's the reason for that, that's the most valuable player in the NBA.
Yeah, and I just, Todd the show was saying, you know, can Fred be that guy? Fred, at this point in his career, can't come and change everything, can't fix everything. Can he help by kind of getting them in better, getting them better looks, by getting them more into run their offense? Sure. Is he a decent enough shooter that he can improve the team's shooting at a certain point in the game? Sure. But he needs help. And if he finds a guy and works the offense to get a guy open, they still have to make shots. They have to rebound. And again, when you out-rebound your opponent by the sizable amount that they did last night, that's a huge advantage to your favor. But then you shoot 50% from the free throw line on 26 attempts, you're giving away points. And that's something that, again, a lot of it, too, when you look at it, they're good free throw shooters missing free throws. That's just a lot of, I don't, at a certain point, they're like, I don't feel it.
It's just kind of weird that they out-rebounded by 20.
It's bizarre. And points in the paint they won.
Yeah. I mean, Indy just shot through the roof, though. I mean, they shot over 50% at 17 threes.
Well, it was a layup drill in the second half. I mean, constantly, even when the Rockets scored, they were turning around and getting whiplash, looking at the Pacers going to get a layup on the other end.
It ain't great. This team's not playing good. Like, there's no other way around it. They're not playing. I've been making excuses for them. Back-to-back, stretch drive, getting healthy. I've been making tons of excuses for the Rockets after yesterday's game. And it's not that they lost. They were 3.5-point dogs. I don't care that they lost. I care that they out-rebound a team by 23 and lose. I care that they gave up 67 points in the first half.
That's how you lost.
It's the context. It's always the context.
But here's the thing. Do you have any explanation, and do you not think that Cam might have been able to help last night? Because I do. Especially because Indiana was really trying to run up and down the floor. Right? And coming off a back-to-back.
He didn't like Cam. He doesn't like Cam.
And then and Cam's not helping himself because on the shots in the huddle, he was basically pouting and lounging.
I mean, you score, what did he score, 28 points the other night?
Yeah.
He scored upper 20s, and he played good defense and was passing the ball and all that, and he gets benched. Like, who would you rather give minutes to right now? And I understand that Reed Sheppard got a few garbage minutes at the end of the game, but he still would have played more minutes than Cam Whitmore even without those garbage minutes at the end of the game. Who would you rather play more minutes, Reed Sheppard or Cam Whitmore?
Cam Whitmore.
I agree.
I'll take it a step further. Who would you rather give minutes to, Cam Whitmore or Jayshon Tate, in a game like that?
I mean, Tate only played two. He played less than Cam, but Cam is the answer.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of guys coming off the bench that you could say, hey, if you're looking for a guy to make a three, Cam can make a three. He can finish off the break. He's got bounce. He rebounded really well in the OKC game, and he showed you effort and energy, which you were in desperate need of in the second half.
Texture says, I guarantee he didn't want Sheppard. They picked a point guard, the third pick, and he's trashed when his point guard went down. But why is that same guy that you're saying didn't want Reed playing a more minutes than Cam? Like, that doesn't add up.
Right.
Like, if you say that he didn't want Reed and then Reed's not playing and Cam Whitmore's getting all the minutes, okay, I can hear you on that. And I might even agree with you. But you can't say he didn't want Reed, yet he's playing Reed more minutes than Cam when we all think that Cam should be getting more minutes. A texture after they were so good in the first half, I had them marked in for 54, 56 wins. Yeah, we remember. I'm really bummed that the Rockets aren't even going to win 50 games. Texture, has anyone ever considered that Adoka's success in Boston was a result of the talent that was here and not him? They did win a championship after he left. I think Ime Udoka is a good coach. I think Ime Udoka is a good coach. I'm not going to back off of that. But I feel like right now, the message isn't getting through. Rockets are not contenders until they get a rim protector. Alpi is not the answer. I don't hate that take. I don't think it's a bad take.
I don't think a rim protector is the answer by any stretch.
I don't think it changes.
Yeah, I think Alpi could actually play some more four type role. Because you like his offense, and if you got someone that's got his back for rebounds and block shots, that helps on both ends.
Yeah, we have a spammer spamming the YouTube and our text line right now saying that the Rockets need Bronny James. Tell me you don't know ball without telling me you don't know ball.
I think that's an obvious troll.
Yeah.
That can't be a serious take.
All right, 713-780-ESPN. Cam Smith is not making the opening day roster. I think we can agree to that. But let's entertain the idea. It hit me a player that was in this situation. Turned out to be really, really good. Let's discuss. It is the Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
713-780-ESPN, USS Cam Smith, aircraft carrier. Not my nickname. It was one of my brilliant Twitter followers' nicknames for him, Jeremy Branham. 713-780-ESPN, HRNP listener line. A bunch of random texts into the show today. Okay. Houston may like McCullers if he can get through one inning of pitching. We'll talk about McCullers later. I just want you guys to know there's nothing more freeing than being the president over an ungrateful Little League board and telling them to all shove it and quitting to focus on your kid and team. Yeah, I could see why that would be stressful and why you would get a lot of freedom by quitting that post. Another reason why Houston should flush the Rockets to get an NHL team here.
Oh, God.
That's not on the table. Paulie G posed the question, if available this offseason, would you take Durantula for the league minimum or would you trade for Giannis? Not realistic, I don't think. Durantula at the league minimum.
Why would Durant be league minimum?
Yeah. But I would do that.
Yeah, but how in the realm of what's possible?
It's fiction. It's make-believe. It's a hypothetical question.
Okay.
Sure, free Kevin Durant.
League minimum. Not quite free, but
I mean, yeah. as far as sports go, it's free.
Yeah, give me Durant. I'll take Durant in that case.
Yeah, because with the Giannis trade, you're going to have to give up quite a bit.
Yeah. You would. So here, it hit me like a bag of rocks thinking about this yesterday. Because everybody, what is this Cam Smith and what is the? I don't want to say the comp because this isn't a player comp. This is more their plight to their big league debut. Like a texter saying, his plight is Alex Bregman. Alex Bregman was drafted in 15, then mid majors in 16. Played college ball also. Now, if we're talking about entertaining this, and I don't think any of us here on the show believes that Cam Smith will be on the opening day roster. There are some radicals out there on Twitter, you know who you are, that think he's going to make this opening day roster. That wouldn't be the Alex Bregman path to the big leagues because Bregman, if you know, we're talking about Smith being on the opening day roster, we're talking about a guy who was drafted the previous year and in the very next season, in his first year, his first full year of pro ball, he starts off in the bigs. That wouldn't be Bregman. The guy that came to mind to me, and again, this is not a player comp. I'm not calling Cam Smith a future Hall of Famer. But the positions are kind of interesting here, too, because this player was a corner infielder, also had the ability to play corner outfield. This player was drafted out of, now, junior college, you might actually remember. He's actually drafted out of junior college as a fat shortstop, but was drafted out of junior college and then made his big league debut, his first full year in professional baseball, the very next season. And he did it with the St. Louis Cardinals. You want to take a stab who I'm thinking of here? Pudgy shortstop, played the corners, hit his way onto the big league roster, was drafted in 2000, played the rest of the season in the minors, only had three games above the A-ball level, and then the very next season he played in 161 big league games.
With the Cards?
With the Cards. Also hit 37 home runs.
Wow.
His name is the Prince. Albert Pujols. And again, this isn't a player comp. This is not a player comp. I'm not saying Cam Smith is going to be Albert Pujols, but wouldn't it be great if he is? I'm not saying that he's Albert Pujols. This is not a player comp. I have to be very clear on that because people are going to say, oh, you're mentioning Albert Pujols in the same sentence as Cam Smith. You're saying he's going to be Albert Pujols. No. I'm saying the same path to the big leagues. And none of us are assuming that Cam Smith's going to be on the opening day roster. But if he does start the year on the opening day roster, it's almost identical to Albert Pujols. Pujols was drafted out of JUCO in 2000. He played the rest of that season in the minor leagues. And then the very next year, 2021, played 161 games for the Cardinals.
Wow.
So that would be the similar path. That would be more similar than Bregman. Now, again,
not a player comp.
He hit 37 home runs.
What was and his average?
329 average. Albert Pujols was a freak, man.
He won rookie year.
329 and 37 bombs in his rookie year? God, that's impressive.
The guy was a freak.
Yeah.
What do they call him? The Machine?
Yeah, the machine.
Yep.
Yeah. There was a lot of. There's a lot of thought. He finished fourth in MVP in his rookie year. He was 21 years old. And, like, I read the Tampa Bay book, The Extra 2%, and they actually have a chapter about Albert Pujols. No one wanted him. No one wanted him because they didn't know what position he'd play. He slipped to the 13th round. He slipped to the 13th round and then made the big leagues and had that kind of year. They didn't know what position he'd play because he was a fat shortstop. And they're like, well, that guy can't play the field. Like, he's a DH, and we're not going to draft a DH in the first 12 rounds. Slid all the way to the 13th.
I can't see Pujols ever in my life playing shortstop.
Yeah, no.
That's bizarre. I could see third or first just because, I mean, he ends up playing first, but he's stocky. But my goodness, that's a hell of a story.
And he played third and left and right in the bigs and then eventually moved over to first. Again, not a player comp. Just saying it'd be a similar path to the big leagues. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. James, you're in the Hive of the Bees. What's up, James?
Hey, what's going on, guys? So I would say a situational comp, I would compare this to something we ran into last year, where I don't think it's completely out of the realm to see him on there. But for development-wise, we saw this out of Joey LaPerfido last year, come out in spring training and tear the cover off the ball. We bring him up wherever we brought him in the season, be it injury, whatever the reason was. But I think it's a take you guys have had on your show where our 7, 8, 9, it's scary, not in a good way. And so why not? In my opinion, you know, why not give him the opportunity if he's hot in spring to bring him out there, and you can make the argument, okay, well, is he going to be more productive than the guys that you're going to use to fill that void? Mauricio Dubon, Ben Gamel, any of these other guys that are going to platoon and help out in the outfield. But, I mean, man, when you're talking about either one of those two being in the lineup with Jake Myers and a Chaz McCormick, I don't think after what we saw Joey go do after the Toronto trade last year, man, I want his numbers over either Jake Myers or McCormick last year. And so if we're looking at it from that perspective, I don't know why they wouldn't give it a shot. I know we've got some other tenured guys in the minors and in the outfield position. I think it's something that they should absolutely entertain if he's going to be going into the start of the season, going through spring training, having that kind of a hitting streak.
Appreciate the call. Look, I think that the first reason why you don't do it is one, you don't want to start the clock. Two, you don't know what you don't know. Spring training, it's not all top-line major league pitching. You're getting a lot of guys that are just trying to make the roster, trying to know where they fit in the system. So there's a lot of different variables that go into it, and you also know that you have Chaz and Jake under contract, and you don't know which Chaz you're going to get. In this case of Jake, I think we pretty much know what Jake is. But 2 years ago, Chaz looked really good and had a really good year. And last year, not so much. But at the end of the year, when he came back from Sugar Land, there were signs that he might be able to work his way out of it. So you have to give him a chance just to see what he truly is. I just think that the prospect of Cam Smith being a long-term, big-time kind of pillar in this organization is exciting. But I don't think you want to rush it that fast to just say, coming out of camp, boom, right there. You're going to put him on the roster and see. Because if he fails, now you got a lot of other issues on your hands, because mentally, is he going to be able to handle that? And then what are your feelings towards him going to change?
Yeah, I'm going to address this on the other side. Also, big game, James. Appreciate the call. I hate the Joey Loperfido comp. And I'm going to give you some evidence as to why you should not pay attention to spring training numbers. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
My name is Amanda. I work with women who are trying to quit smoking. And I have some tips for you in case you're pregnant or thinking about having a baby. First thing is, keep trying to quit. Or better yet, don't start smoking. It can cause premature birth, which can then increase the risk of your baby having developmental delays, problems with eyesight, breathing, and more. So don't give up. There are people like me who are here to support you, because I know what can happen if you don't quit. Your baby could be born 2 months early and weigh only 3 pounds. She could be in the NICU for almost a month, put in an incubator and fed through a feeding tube that goes through her nose down into her little stomach. I know that because I smoked while I was pregnant, and that's what happened to my little baby. I quit. You can too.
Quit your way. Call 1-877-YOU-CAN-NOW or visit TobaccoFreeFlorida.com. Developed by CDC.
Hey everybody, it's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.